pain, weak muscles, gastrointestinal or breathing problems, always, sometimes more, sometimes less. Can you imagine that? In Germany alone, there are 6 million people for whom their own immune system is the enemy, and maybe even you are one of them. The immune system is directed against its own tissues. Treatment for autoimmune diseases involves drugs that suppress the immune system. This means that the permanent symptoms are more or less under control, but it is also very dangerous. Because when the immune system is paralyzed, it logically cannot fight off anything that is really hostile. As a result, harmless infections can become life-threatening and vaccinations offer no protection. Dr. Theresa Grahlmann's mission is to change this and make life more bearable for people with incurable diseases. She is head of the Translational Immunology Research Group at the TwinCor in Hanover, a joint research site of the Helmholtz Center for Infection Research and the Hanover Medical School. Here, research can be carried out very close to patients to find out exactly what mechanisms are behind certain autoimmune diseases and how drugs and vaccines for patients can be improved.
With me is Dr. Theresa Grahlmann. Hi, Theresa.
Hi.
Theresa, you and your group, you're researching autoimmune diseases. These are diseases in which the immune system fights the own body. Is this simply like this? And why does the immune system actually do this?
Yes, we can say that the immune system really starts to fight against the own body. And this is particularly against so-called antigens, so parts of cells or even different organs, which are then destroyed by inflammation. Why this? You already asked why this happens.
Yeah,
this is a very difficult question, actually, to answer. We don't know exactly. It depends a lot on the different diseases, what exactly happens there. We know that at least partially there is a genetic predisposition. We cannot say single genes that are affected. For some diseases, we can say that, but this is rather not very common. For in most cases, it is really rather a polygenetic polymorphism that takes place. And then there is most probably some inflammatory responses throughout the lifespan that then kind of trigger the outbreak of the autoimmunity.
And what are the most common autoimmune diseases?
So there are many different ones. An example, a very well known, is the type 1 diabetes. Then there are, of course, a lot of chronic inflammatory bowel diseases. Mm. There are neurological diseases like multiple sclerosis. But I don't have too much knowledge about those, actually. So I'm working on chronic rheumatic diseases, and they consist in particular from the rheumatoid arthritis, which is the most common one. Rheumatoid arthritis affects 1% of the worldwide population, which is actually not a rare disease. Mm-hmm. But there are also a lot more chronic rheumatic diseases, particularly the connective tissue diseases that can affect basically every organ. They are rather rare diseases, but they are very interesting because they are kind of diverse. And we are really looking into those. There is, for example, the systemic sclerosis, or which is better known, the lupus erythematosus. Mm-hmm. Many people heard about that one.
Yep.
All of those diseases really can affect different organs of the body.
And how are autoimmune diseases treated? And maybe what's the problem of this treatment?
So first of all, when it comes to an autoimmunity, we have to act rather fast. And the most broad immunosuppressive treatment are glucocorticoids, like cortisone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is used for many, many different diseases because it acts super fast. And it can be used for really most of the diseases. There are just very, very few ones where we cannot use glucocorticoids. And since it acts super fast and also rather strong and broad, we always use it in the beginning. Afterwards, we would like to switch to a therapy which has less side effects, first of all, and which is more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we have a whole bunch of immunomodulatory drugs. We even call them immunomodulatory because they are not really broad immunosuppressive. And there we have really many different ones which can basically target single cytokines, so like substances with which the different immune cells communicate. We have drugs that can deplete complete cell types, and we have drugs that really affect the mode of action of the cells, which are really, really specific.
And where is your focus of research in this?
We are focusing actually on to understand why patients with chronic rheumatic diseases suffer from more infective diseases. What I have not told yet is that not only the immune modulatory drugs, of course, affect the response to infections when the patients are treated, but already the primary disease of the autoimmunity really makes the patients more prone for common infections also, like for bugs that we are normally not really susceptible to. And we don't know exactly why the autoimmunity also leads to a reduced response to infections. And this is actually the part that we are looking for, because those infections really affect the patients on a daily basis. They suffer from more infections, more severe infections, more hospitalization. But also every infection can again trigger the autoimmunity and worsen the primary disease. Therefore, it is a big problem for them.
I can imagine. And when I'm reading articles for my everyday work, I'm always reading that autoimmune diseases are on the rise. Is this true fact? And if so, why is this the case?
That is actually true, and we observe that particularly in populations that get older and are more industrialized, we observe more autoimmune diseases. On the one hand, this is simply because people are getting older and the life incidence increases for those diseases. And the other point is that also the diagnostics are getting much better, so we have more often the possibility to really find the patients earlier, or at least we just find them. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, also environmental factors definitely can trigger autoimmunity, but we don't even know all of them. One which we really can point out is smoking. Mm-hmm. And we know that some autoimmune diseases are really triggered by smoking.
So also passive smoking.
Yes, actually, yes. This already can trigger inflammation.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a lot worse if you really do it yourself and inhale it into the lung. But you're also inhaling passively. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. And what do you want to achieve with your research?
So we really would like to improve patients' life and patients' life quality. And this is actually what motivates us every day to do the research as we are doing it. We're really looking what are the common problems that patients are focusing, of course, with regard to their infections, but also with regard to the treatments they receive against it and to the side effects they have.
Mm-hmm. And is it, can you call it in that it goes in the direction of personalized treatment or personalized medicine?
Yes, I would say so. So what we try really to identify mechanisms of inflammation that are different in particular patients. And what we also need, and this is something that we are a little bit focusing as well in our group, is to really improve diagnostics, because we already have a bunch of different, very specific treatments. But in many cases, we cannot, before the treatment, beforehand, identify the patients that profit best from the one or the other drug. Mm. Therefore, it also really needs a better understanding for the inflammatory processes, particularly also in the different tissues, because different drugs can also work differently on immune cells when those are localized in different tissues, for example, in the lung or in the skin.
Mm. And you're working as a clinician scientist at TwinCore. What does your work there look like? What distinguishes you from a pure scientist or a pure doctor?
So like on the daily basis, it is really that in the morning I'm seeing patients in the clinic, in the different units or in the outpatient clinic. And in the afternoon, I'm going to the lab to do the lab work and see the team and discuss projects and plan the next experiments.
Maybe you can precise what are the advantages of the combination of the research you do in the lab and the or the research center and the medical school?
I think what is really the advantage of clinician scientists is that when you see the patients, you already look at them in kind of a different way. So you're coming from basically two worlds, the world of treating them and the world of doing science for a particular disease. So when I see patients, I already see them with my view, how could I scientifically address a question that would help them to improve their life quality. And on the other hand, I also know from the lab, of course, which experiments could be done or where are also the limits of the experiments that I could do with particular samples or something like that. So I think it's really the transition zone. Mm. Yeah, that's maybe the best word. So we're really working on the transition zone between the clinic where we see the patients and to the lab where we have the opportunity and the possibility really to then do address scientific questions.
So I think the twin core where you're working is what is called translational infection or in translational research. Yeah. What does this exactly mean? And maybe what advantages does this have actually for our society?
Translational research really means the combination or the transit, to use that word again, the transit from bed to bedside. Mm. So really from the lab to the patient to really let them profit to really transfer what we found in the lab into a product that can be used at the patient's side. Mm-hmm. And I think this is already the big advantage that it is science that is really focused to lead to a product that can be applied really then for the patients and not just to really address questions that can afterwards not be translated into something that is really helpful in the clinic.
At this point, I want to mention two episodes for our listeners in which I talked to two other researchers of the Twin Core. Professor Thomas Pietschmann, he's the leader of the research group Experimental Virology, and it's the episode of May 2024, and Professor Susanne Häusler, she's the leader of the research group Molecular Bacteriology, and this episode is from January. Well, for us, maybe as a take-home message for our listeners, can you summarize what can each or every one of us do for ourselves to reduce our own risk of getting an autoimmune disease?
You cannot completely prevent it with living the best and healthiest life ever because there is a certain genetic predisposition. Nevertheless, what you can do is really to prevent infections, to use vaccines against infections that are available, because every infective trigger might trigger an autoimmune response. And of course, which is always very important for every disease, to keep kind of your organs as healthy as you can. Non-smoking is certainly very important. Then in terms of dietary, there we always recommend a Mediterranean dietary, meaning a lot of vegetables and healthy food, not so much of meat, because some meats can contain some part that can be in the body be metabolized to inflammatory factors. Mm. And of course, moving around, so doing sport on a healthy way, that makes absolutely sense for all the ankles and the joints and the muscles and everything that really can be affected by an autoimmunity.
Thank you very much for your time and the exciting information.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.